Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
Hello, there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you were killing some time with us. My name is Marcus Brunzi. And what a year we've had, man. Real crazy year, actually, because we had like a little quiet portion in October to December. And there's a few reasons why that has been. And we've discussed that in the last few eps here at How to Kill an Hour. But I think the most important thing is that we're back. Back like we have never left. And this time of year is always quite interesting, isn't it? It's the time of year where we like to reflect upon the year that we've had and look forward into the year that is to come, the year that is to be, 2018. And this is the first of our episodes where we give you the best bits of 2017. We've had an interesting year. We've killed time in ways that I don't think we could even have imagined that we'd be killing time when we started doing How to Kill an Hour. And we're going to share those with you as well as all of the other digressions that we tend to step into when we are discussing our different ways of killing time, just like in episode 143. In fact, this little bit of conversation influenced the name of this episode, which was Inspiration Corner / Super Midget. You're going to think I sound cunty when I say this, but I don't really go to the bar that much because when I'm in a bar situation, I'm usually at a club and I ain't going to the bar to get one crispy drink.
Yeah,
it's a bottle thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I'd advise everyone to live life like that because
With the sparklers.
Nah, fuck the sparklers. I hate sparklers. And you know what? Them ice, they're so hard to put out, those ice sparklers. Like you can't put them out by like throwing the bucket. Like you have to throw the bucket underwater. The bottle underwater.
So as someone who doesn't drink, are they actually the sparklers that you get on the 5th of November? Like
they're
sparklers.
Called, the ones that I know, they're called ice sparklers. So I don't know why they called it. No, they're like little, they're not sparklers like the ones that's like that, like the ones that are sticks. These are like little cones and you light the cone.
Okay.
And it goes, takes ages. I don't know. I feel it's a bit, I ain't about that life. I just want the drink.
One of these days, someone's going to put a firework.
Can you imagine that? This is how fucked up the human race is. Do you know in certain clubs still, this happens. There's certain clubs. Is it Vegas? Where is it? If you buy a few bottles, certain clubs have started to find out like ingenious ways of making it an exciting thing. It's a ploy. Sparklers on the bottle is a ploy by the club. So Funk's in one corner of the club, I'm in the other, and we're both dickheads. Because I buy 6 bottles, sparklers, and Funk goes, all right, cool. I'm going to get 7. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to get a couple more sparklers over here. It encourages everyone to spend, because they want to be like the sparkler people, But clubs have started doing stuff like stopping the music and playing like a song when bottles get.
Yeah. And there's normally like an entourage of people carrying them out or something.
Of course. All right. I shouldn't really say this, but I work with clubs and one ploy that has pushed our bar spend up is just sending waitresses around the bars at certain times of the night. They'll come out on one exit. 2 waitresses will come with 2 bottles in each of their hands with sparklers, walk around the bar, walk back into the office. The bottles that they're holding will sell more. Fact.
Why?
I've shared this with you in How to Kill Hour because people see those bottles. Oh, someone's buying bottles. Oh, let's buy a bottle.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
But they never see those bottles actually go to anyone.
Because the club's so busy, obviously, doing our thing, they walk through the club, around and back. This is why Marcus Bronzy should manage your bot. So there you go. So sometimes, if you watch balls going through the club, sometimes they go nowhere.
Okay.
But anyway, so they've come up with these ingenious ways to make it more and more exciting because obviously, because we're sick and twisted human beings, just walking around the bar isn't enough. So I've been in a bar where there's a midget.
Yeah. A midget?
On a wire that travels from one end of the club to your table, on a wire, strung up, not finished, holding two bottles in front of him with sparklers on him. He's in a Superman suit. They stop the music and you hear... and he delivers the bottles. How fucked up are we as people? How fucked up are we?
I think the answer to that question is very, very, very fucked up indeed. And in essence, we are a tech podcast. We do like to talk a lot about tech and gadgets and gaming. But sometimes, like I said, we digress. And we got into a little bit of a fashion faux pas situation in episode 147, aka Funk's Love Glove.
I might break out the Timberlands again, you know.
Okay. What do they do? You can scroll with your feet?
No, you can't. But, bro, you know what? I mean? Do you know what it is? I'm old school. I like Timberland boots. And when it's this cold, you can wear them.
Okay.
And you can be like, yeah. Like, I think I've got like those proper like excitable Timberland boots with like patches on them and stuff like that. You can wear them in weather like that. And in your head, people think, oh, clever guy, he saved his Timberlands from when he's younger. And he's wearing them in this cold weather. But in my head, I'm thinking, stop, drop. Walking down the street like I'm hip hop as fuck, bro.
From a 90s rap video. Yes. 90s New York rap
yes.
video.
Or I get out of my car like Cameron got out the video for a Dipset anthem.
But the thing with Timberlands, I've always felt, I mean, we digress, but they should have only come in the tan colour. I mean, they're not instantly recognisable outside of that tan colour. Because I look at Timberlands, I see pink Timberlands, I think, what are these?
Yeah, yeah. But I blame Cameron for that. It's him. He started doing all that shit. And then everyone was like, nah, we need to upgrade. That was when everyone wanted to get the one away special edition.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want the version with my name on them.
Yeah.
With a special tag on them. Like, I've got a pair of Timberlands. I would no lie.
Yeah.
If someone asked me to tweet this online, I'll put this online to prove it.
Yeah.
I got a real, because people thought they're fake. I got a real pair of Timberland boots
that
have an ice coloured bottom. So they're see-through bottom. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're white leather.
Yeah.
White. With like this Avisu looking line that runs across them. Yeah. And red, like, you know, the trim around the top, trim around the top.
Yeah.
I thought I was an absolute G. For more than now, prick. Yeah, but I thought I was a G.
Do you know what? Yeah. I think we're going to get a lot of complaints to Ofcom because of that. That horrendous that admission.
Fashion faux pas.
That horrendous admission. Right. I think Ofcom are going to be onto us after that.
Shall I give you another fair? I've got another fair, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're black.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
But so, like, imagine someone's cut the top off, the bit that goes over your ankle. That's been cut off, right?
Low top tip.
almost. But the bit that hugs around your ankle, the top bit that's meant to like protect it, that instead is made out of denim. Okay, grey denim. So they're black Timberland boots, with grey denim. But the denim bit, and these are real as well, they're not fake. They're denim bits.
Yeah.
They don't sew them onto the boot. They're buttoned on with like, you know, the button that you use to close your jeans at the top, yeah? You zip up your jeans. That little button is how you button that bit on. And then you turn it over and it's a slightly different colour as well. So you had like turn up jeans and turn over Timberland boots. I was that guy. And I used to wear those to the club. I used to wear boots to a club.
And you used to get in?
Boots to a nightclub with jeans and a t-shirt.
And I was probably
wearing boot cuts as well.
I wonder how much they are on the black market these days.
Someone will probably pay me to just burn them.
50p.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think if
it gets colder, I'll wear a different, I've got another pair. I'll wear them in. You can
Tim's
see
Tim's should always come in tan, like Ferrari should always come in red. I think like that's just one of those things, man.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Denim Tim's.
Hey, no one was laughing at me. No one was laughing at me when we had that super cold spell over Christmas and I was wearing my Timberland boots and my toes were roasty warm and everyone was walking around in soggy trainers. All right. Anyway, we do talk about tech on this show and there's something which cropped up on episode 147 as well. And it's something that encroached on something that I think is a right of passage for all humans, and there was a bit of legislation that was endangering something that I think it's fair to say 99.999% of the world have enjoyed in some way or another.
I might break out the Timberlands again, you know.
Okay. What do they do? You can scroll with your feet?
No, you can't. But bro, you know what I mean? Do you know what it is? I'm old school. I like Timberland boots. And when it's this cold, you can wear them.
Okay.
And you can be like, yeah. Like, I think I've got like those proper like excitable Timberland boots with like patches on them and stuff like that. You can wear them in weather like that. And in your head, people think, oh, clever guy, he saved his Timberlands from when he's younger and he's wearing them in this cold weather. But in my head, I'm thinking, stop, drop. Shutting down, open up shop. Walking down the street like I'm hip hop as fuck.
From
bro.
A 90s rap video. Yes. 90s New York rap
yes.
video.
Or I get out of my car like Cameron got out the video for a Dipset anthem. Yeah, bro.
But the thing with Timberlands, I've always felt, I mean, we digress, but they should have only come in the tan color. I mean, they're not instantly recognizable outside of that tan color. Because I look at Timberlands, I see pink Timberlands, I think, what are these?
Yeah, yeah. But I blame Cameron for that. It's him. He started doing all that shit. And then everyone was like, nah, we need to upgrade. That was when everyone wanted to get the one away special edition.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want the version with my name on them.
Yeah.
With a special tag on them. Like, I've got a pair of Timberlands. I will no lie.
Yeah.
If someone asked for me to tweet this online, I'll put this online to prove it.
Yeah.
I got a real, because people thought they're fake. I got a real pair of Timberland boots
that
have an ice coloured bottom. So they're see-through bottom. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're white leather.
Yeah.
With like this Avisu looking line that runs across them, yeah? And red, like, you know the trim around the top? A red trim around the top.
Yeah.
I thought I was an absolute G. If I wore them now, prick. Yeah, but I thought I was a G.
Do you know what? Yeah, I think you were going to get a lot of complaints to Ofcom because of that. That horrendous admission.
Fashion faux pas.
That horrendous admission. Right. I think Ofcom are going to be onto us after that.
Shall I give you another fair? I've got another fair, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're black.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
But like, imagine someone's cut the top off, the bit that goes over your ankle. That's been cut off, right?
Low top Timbs.
almost. But the bit that hugs around your ankle, the top bit that's meant to like protect it, that instead is made out of denim. Okay, grey denim. So they're black Timberland boots, with grey denim. But the denim bit, and these are real as well, they aren't fake.
Yeah, whatever.
They're denim bits.
Yeah.
They don't sew them onto the boot. They're buttoned on with like, you know the button that you use to close your jeans at the top, yeah? You zip up your jeans. That little button is how you button that bit on. And then you turn it over and it's a slightly different colour as well. So you had like turn up jeans and turn over Timberland boots. I was that guy. And I used to wear those to the club. I used to wear boots to a club.
And you used to get in?
Boots to a night, yes. Boots to a nightclub with jeans and a t-shirt.
My goodness, I was probably
wearing boot cuts as well.
Because I wonder how much they are on the black market these days.
Someone will probably pay me to just burn them.
50p.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think if
it gets colder, I'll wear a different, I've got another pair. I'll wear them in. You can
Tim's
see
Tim's should always come in tan, like Ferrari should always come in red. I think like that's just one of those things, man.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Denim Tim's.
I'm so glad that piece of legislation did not get passed. Also, in episode 150, we managed to come across some very interesting, an interesting applicator, if you would like, a beverage. Now, there's a kind of realistic looking sex doll that pleasures you in two ways. One of them, I say, is a necessary sustenance. So the doll's boobs in this doll, as well as being nice to touch,
oh my word,
are also drinks dispensers.
I knew you were going to say that.
So it costs about $5,000 according to Gizmodo, and according to the video, you have to massage the right breast thoroughly before getting drinks from the left. So you kind of got to work for your boob. So I'm going to show Funk a little video of it. You know when you hear music like this, it's only going to be a funky video like this. Yeah. We'll put the video for this up at howtokillanhour.com/blog.
Okay.
I mean, I find it functional.
It's very realistic in the face. And yes, from the mammary glands, there is some juice coming out.
Is it milk that he's having?
That's not milk. That's like apple juice.
It's pouring everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. That music just sounds freaky. So yeah, there you go. I mean, shout out to the crew over there.
Yeah.
Is this Japan or China?
Yeah.
I can't tell. It's China. Shout out to the crew in China for just revolutionizing the way that you get your drink. I mean, people have bottles in the club.
Yeah.
With sparklers on them.
Now, this is, if somebody has this on their table,
yeah,
your whole table game is done. You've got bottles of champagnes and sparklers in the club.
Yeah.
Somebody else has got a doll which has your drink yeah. spraying out of his nipple.
Yeah.
You're going to win.
I'm actually, this is quite serious. I mean, we've just had the Women's March yesterday in the Capitol, and I feel like feminism is under threat here. I feel like we're actually entering into a territory where women could be made extinct. They wouldn't have any need for... It's just crazy. Now there's a woman or a female form that can produce Coca-Cola for my boobies.
Brandy and Coke, maybe some if you like an alcoholic beverage.
But wait, she can actually produce brandy from one titty and Coke from the other. That's a game changer.
So you're trying to say men might be wanting to take this doll out on a date? Full well knowing that the doll cannot talk to them.
Well, when you couple that with the fact that if they input the correct kind of AI... Oh my goodness. What are we talking of here?
No, dear. Go out and stay out late and drink all you want. In fact, would you like one now?
Marcus, this is crazy. You don't need to go to the pub anymore. Everything is all in one place, in situ. The pub is in your woman.
For God's sakes. Damn the people for making this, and damn us men for being such simple beings.
Yeah.
Because that's all we need.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If she fires a cheeseburger out of her ass, I'm staying in.
And that's the women out there. I mean, seriously, I think you need to kind of come together and have a crisis meeting.
Stop this. And not because it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's because we're just simple guys out there. Yeah. If you're offering me a doll which makes me brandy and Coke, yeah, fires a cheeseburger out of their bottom.
Yeah. And I think one of the...
gives me all of my manly needs.
I think one of the chief components of feminism is that the women themselves, they need to come up with a solution. We can't help you. Ladies, we will just be there drinking the cool beverages from the supple... Oh,
this is the beginning of the end, isn't it, fuck? This is it. It's over.
It's over.
Oh, man, we need to talk about something. I don't know. I feel sad now, bro. I feel sad.
Genuine concern in our voice there. As well as being silly, we actually do like to investigate some interesting parts of the human psyche. In fact, we met a professional. I wouldn't call it. He's not a pickup artist. His name's James Priest. He came on the show, episode 158, and he had a conversation with us about how he helps to build confidence in people to up their dating game. And very fortunately, our own producer, Billy, agreed to let James Priest go through his Tinder profile and discuss the positives and the negative sides of his Tinder profile and how he might use that to improve his dating game. The best thing about this clip is you can hear Billy breaking, cracking slowly throughout this. But it was a good experience for him, I guess. Well, you can make your mind up.
Could you check out my one to see?
Oh, we'll do it. Let's rip this apart.
Oh, dear. Right.
While we're doing this, tell me about your date that you had. What was so bad?
No, she just didn't look like who she was. The date itself was all right, but she just didn't look the same.
Okay, what's with the hat hood thing, first of all?
Well, that's just what I was wearing at that time.
You were wearing it. You're not wearing it now. Would you wear it on a date?
No, I wouldn't.
No, so don't wear any picture.
Okay, that's strike one. That's the first picture.
Okay, you look okay. It's a good picture. I can see you probably get quite a lot of matches on here and swipes. Is that right? A lot of interest. Some interest.
Yeah.
Out of 10, how much interest?
6, 7.
That's not bad. Most people get about 2. So that's a good start. You look mean and moody. Some of them are going to like that. You're not smiling. But I'm going to go into other pictures and see what else is on here.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
So there we are, another mean and moody picture.
Yeah, I don't smile a lot in my photos. No.
People don't generally. This is the problem. If you look threatening in the picture, you're going to attract a certain type. You want somebody who's going to be relaxed in your company. If you come across as smiling and friendly, they're much more likely to want to be with you and trust you.
So a certain type, again, you mean like crazy type, as in no, you're not smiling?
An alpha male, an alpha female.
All right, okay.
Alpha females go for the mean and moody bad guys. If that's you and you're a bad guy, go for it. Are you a bad guy?
No, you're a nice guy.
I'm getting that.
Not too nice. Because then too nice is friend zone, isn't it?
Friend zone, yeah, that can come on to that. Okay, the next picture on here is one of the pictures I hate most of all sites. It's a selfie in a mirror.
Oh, don't get to the last one, please. No.
I'll get to the last one. Selfies in a mirror give the impression you've got no friends and you're stood there in front of a mirror taking a picture of yourself looking mean and meaty.
But the worst one on Tinder is when I've seen one, they got the group photo and I'm trying to guess which one it is, and I'm scrolling through them all and I have to pick which one, right? Which one is it?
Exactly, it's hard. And what if you fancy someone else rather than that person?
I made that mistake once.
You did that?
Yeah, I was like, are you this person? She's like, nah. I was like,
Go. Yeah. That's the trouble. Another mean and moody picture with the phone in front of your mouth.
Yeah.
Doesn't add any value. No friends. Billy no mates. That's the problem there. The next one. Okay. What is that one? It's you again holding a phone up. Eyes are closed.
Yeah.
It looks like you're having a shave, maybe. It could be like this. Do you think? Maybe. The last one's coming up now.
The last one's bad, and I've watched one of your videos, and you said don't do it, and I thought, I hope it doesn't see it.
I've seen it now. You get your hand down your pants on the top of this picture.
It wasn't, no, it's not down my pants. It's not down my pants.
It might as well be.
It's not.
It's not. But okay. You're going to attract a certain type of woman on here. If that's what you want, you're 26 years old. If that's what you want, go for it. Don't be scared. If you want a serious relationship, you look good, but women are going to laugh at you and say, who's this loser who's half naked with his hand down his pants? It's black and white. He filtered it black and white because you're not proud enough.
Because it looks better black and white.
Exactly. The angles and the shadows. Women can see through this, can't they, straight away? That's the trouble. Here we going to go. Okay, let's look at your profile text.
I know that's temporary text. Because
everyone says that. Is it just for my benefit?
Yeah.
Just for me?
No, don't know.
Let's read it out loud, people.
Oh, dear.
Looking for a date for Valentine's Day. Usually I wouldn't care, but I got a spare ticket to see Drake and I don't want to go on my own. I quite like that. That's a good thing. It's topical. You should always talk about topical things. Like if it's about the winter, talk about winter. You're making a joke. It might be true. Is it true?
It's true, but jokey as well.
Jokey as well. I like that. That's a good thing. You might just get gold diggers who want to go and see a Drake concert, but then you can filter out if that happens. And there's a nice link to your Instagram and your shoe collection at the bottom.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, and there's more pictures of you half naked in a mirror. Again, in Instagram.
Oh, that's on Instagram, yeah, don't worry about that.
But they're going to see that, aren't they? They're not going to just stick to your Facebook, to your Tinder pictures. They're going to go onto Instagram next if they like you. If you've got 413 pictures on Instagram, as you do...
You've gone into it.
I can see it here. If you do that, and that one of them is really bad, you'll be judged on that picture exclusively and you'll be filtered out. Stick to 4 or 5 pictures maximum. I would not link to your Instagram. It's not going to do you any favours. Particularly when your first picture is a pair of shoes, or it might be. Let me go back to this now. I've gone into Instagram. Trying to get me out of that and get back into Tinder again. Sure.
I think are we going to go deeper into this?
Do you want to?
Yeah, why not? We've got time.
Let's do it. Pass it to me. Who's that? She's nice.
No, that's just...
We're going to like her straight away, Emily. Okay. There's Issy with no head. Isn't she nice? What's that all about? Well, I'm going through people's profiles now by accident. I'm going to do a couple of swipes anyway. Women look different to guys on these sites because women wear makeup. They Photoshop their pictures. They put the filters on so everyone looks better. So it's hard for a guy to look great, particularly in terms of women. So women are judgmental of that. There's a selfie shot. Look at her, mean and moody. But it's your profile and your messages I want to see. So I'm going to look at your messages.
I'm trying to think.
Okay, you've done really well on here, looking at this. Unless you've started these conversations off. Is it you that's doing this or them? Okay, loads of girls have contacted you on here. And you're just ignoring them. This is today as well, isn't it?
No, which one? Show me.
Liv.
Oh, that was a few days ago.
What's wrong with her? Other than all the same things I told you not to do. Okay, maybe not. Let's rule her out. But who have you dated on here recently?
No one.
Okay, but you've been flirting with people. So let's have a look at the flirt, shall we?
Oh, God. Go
what?
Go on.
That's lovely, isn't it? Right. Am I going to see naked shots on here, Billy?
No, because
you've seen
no,
some
no,
already.
No.
I've seen some already. It's not you. Okay. Okay, why are you being pen pals with this girl, Hannah, here?
Oh, yeah, that's she's quite nice.
But why are you being pen pals? Why are you having
this
conversation?
She's in Ireland at the moment.
Okay.
She went out there to go drinking and whatever. She's back tomorrow.
Are you going to see her?
I'm going to try and arrange
her. Have you arranged this long, rambling essay that you're going to see her?
I will.
You haven't done.
Not yet, so but
you've,
I will.
You've almost been friend zoned already then. Why couldn't you just give her a call when you liked her about two pages back here? Because you're scared to give her a call, aren't you?
No. I quite like to call, to be fair.
It's a good thing to do. It makes you stand out.
Yes, yeah, I was about to say.
I'm not even going to read this because it's all personal. But I'm seeing loads of smiley faces going on, which is great. That shows that you're friendly. Men are afraid to use emoticons and smiley faces. Nothing's really happening going on here. It's a lot of waffle, isn't it?
It's all right. It's not bad. That's one of the better conversations.
Is it? But she's really nice, I think. Let's check her out. She's absolutely lovely. How do you know that's really her?
What?
How do you know that's really her?
Well, you're thinking like a catfish.
Yeah, it could be a catfish. She looks a bit too good to be true for my liking. But she might not be. But you could have been flirting for hours and days and weeks and months with someone that's not true. Someone that's a fake person.
Yeah.
One in four of these profiles is probably fake. Keep that in mind.
Mm.
Guys pretending to be girls. People that are trying to catfish you. People that are just bored putting up people that's not really them. So the problem with these free sites like Tinder, it's full of fake people.
Oh, yeah. So, saying about fake people.
You've got some. There we go.
This girl said to me, and you said blokes. There we go.
What's this one here? This is Chloe Billy. Okay, she's been reverse imaging people's pictures.
Yeah, she says that. That's because I didn't believe her when she said catfish is a lot of them on Tinder. I was like, really? She was like, yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Most guys on here are catfish. That's my point exactly. They're not really who they say they are. People go on there, put on these fake pictures of modelly shots and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Stolen from America in the hope they're going to flirt with these guys and flirt with these girls. And of course, they can't ever meet them because they're not going to discover who they really are. But she's a bit bored. She goes on Google and reverse image searches them, which is a bit crazy. And she's got better things to do with her time than that. But then she's so worried about these things. I've spoken to girls on Tinder. I've created test accounts on there. And I've told them what I do. And they complain to me that guys aren't serious on Tinder. These girls want long-term relationships, especially over the age of 30. So if you're just time-wasting them and bantering, it's great. But you've got to go on real dates with them. Go on dates as soon as you can. Don't wait months if they're in Ireland. Arrange it in advance so you know that tomorrow she's back in the country, you're going to be the first person she sees.
Yeah.
A girl like that isn't just talking to you. She's bantering probably 10 guys at any one time. If you're the first one to see her, you've got the first chance of having a relationship with her. So do it. Move on with it. Ask her out now. Take the phone.
Oh, God.
Go on. Let's do it.
So what do you mean to say?
I make all my clients do this. Act in the moment. Otherwise, you'll put it off and procrastinate and you won't get any dates.
Okay, right.
If she says no to you, I don't want to meet you. What have you lost? Nothing. You weren't going to meet her anyway. And she might have been a time waster. So go on with it. Give it a go.
Okay, so I'll go ahead with...
Just ask her when you're back. What time are you back tomorrow? She won't meet you tomorrow, so get that out of your head. But you can arrange for the weekend, maybe on Friday.
When you're back, we'll...
go for a drink, or whatever you want to do.
We'll go bowling. And then... sorry? Go on,
is bowling a good idea?
Bowling's different, isn't it? I don't like... And drinks is boring.
Bowling's good.
Okay. Because drinks, you've already got to know each other over text. So
if bowling's an activity. It's a good talking point.
Competitive.
So it is. It's much better than, say, dinner in a movie. So yeah, absolutely. Bowling's okay. If you like bowling... And you're good with your balls, so you do that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, hey, shwing! As well as upping his dating confidence, there were some other side effects. I'm just going to let you listen. This is episode 159, by the way. Yes, I'm Marcus Bronzy.
And I'm Funk Butcher.
There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you're killing some time with us.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, you were just lucky. Lucky. How big-headed do we sound?
I know.
You're so lucky to have me in your ears. That's like fucking someone, yeah? And as you're fucking them, your dirty talk is, you know what? You're just so lucky to have my dick in you right now. Or like, someone's like banging you, like, or a girl's banging you going, do you know how lucky you are to be getting a piece of this pussy? I'd be like, lucky? Fuck off. Fuck your lucky about lucky.
It's confidence.
Yeah, but no, that's overconfidence. You can't be so confident in bed that you go to someone, do you know how fucking lucky you are to get a slice of this? Yeah, you've won the fucking lottery. This is the dick lottery. Can you imagine if I said this? A girl saying to you, you've won the pussy lottery, motherfucker. Come on.
Well, maybe they are lucky because if they wasn't with your ass, they would be on Tinder
Yeah.
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 Playing with themselves.
Cobwebs coming out your crotch.
Playing with themselves and swiping.
Mm, that's right.
What is it? Swipe left, swipe right?
Swipe clockwise. Anyway, how you doing, Funk?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good, man. That was a good last episode, the episode beforehand where Billy got some dating advice.
That was very informative.
I mean, I think we've already seen a change in Billy in the How to Kill an Hour team.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a slight alpha male aggression around Billy today.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about just doing a little bit of editing. Sometimes when we start the show, we might trip a word and start again. Yeah. And Billy was like, can you not pause that recording and continue it? Can you stop it? Because I might have to do some extra editing. I might have to click two extra buttons when I'm editing this down.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a kind of aggression that I've not felt from Billy before.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a precursor to the transformation that is about to occur from the work that Mr. Reese has been...
Priest. James Priest.
Oh, it's a priest.
Yeah.
Sounds very religious.
Mm. So what have
Give me the gospel.
So what have we let ourselves in for?
Praise the Lord.
We're just gonna have to see. So, oh my gosh, Billy's changed. Billy has changed. I mean, even right now, Billy's opened a packet of biscuits.
Yeah.
And he's not even offering to share them with us because, you know, that's what alpha males do. When you watch those shows, the alpha male eats first and then he lets the beta males eat second.
And if there's any crumbs left over, we might get some if we're lucky.
Yeah, but if you try and eat before he's ready to let them go, that's what it is. Billy, man, you've changed. Can I have a bit of your biscuit?
You can do.
See, I had to ask and be allowed.
He's actually giving us a bit.
He's actually giving me a piece of biscuit.
Not even a full.
Wait, are you handing one quarter? No, he's handing half the biscuit over to you, Funk.
What is this?
It's a Belvita chocolate biscuit. He's broken the biscuit in half and given it to Funk, so Funk can then break that in half. You've offered us a quarter of a biscuit and you have four biscuits in the box.
They're all broken,
man.
They're
broken.
Don't try, Billy. Billy's giving us this austerity portions.
My gosh.
Austerity portions.
Wow.
This is Brexit portions, Billy.
Wow.
I'm not happy.
Sorry, why is it?
Brexit biscuits.
You have changed, son. Giving a man a quarter of a biscuit when you have four. I'm sure there's a Bible story about it. I'm sure there's a story in the Bible about something like that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
So that was Billy. I mean, hopefully he's kind of stopped behaving like that. I mean, we've had little eeks of attitude, but we've managed to calm him down. Let's hope 2018 is a year where Billy shares more. Anyway, Dev is one of the presenters that likes to hop onto How to Kill an Hour once in a while, and he killed some time in some very interesting ways this year, especially by joining some of the celebrity iterations of shows that are quite popular here in the UK across Britain. One of them being Mastermind. Now, Dev had a very interesting experience when he went on this. I mean, it's an institution of a quiz show. Anyway, I'll let Dev take it away. This is from episode 164.
How else have I been killing us? Oh, I killed an hour on Mastermind. I did that.
Yeah, you've not been on the show since that's happened.
Yeah, I did Mastermind. Like, I filmed that 2 months ago. Sorry. And they just put it on telly a couple of weeks ago. I didn't watch it when it actually went on, because I can't watch myself on TV. But I recorded that like 2 months ago, went up to Manchester, It's good, man.
Can you set it up, should in case you don't know what Mastermind is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So just... Mastermind is this like legendary British quiz. I don't know how long it's been on telly for. Let's just say the 60s, because it sounds cool, doesn't
Ever.
It?
Ever, yeah.
I'm going to say it's been on telly since like the 60s.
Yeah.
The idea is that you go on there with a specialist subject and you also get a general knowledge round. It's just like, of all the sort of telly shows you could be on, that's one of the ones, if you tell people, normally they're quite impressed. It's not the same sort of fodder as maybe like some of the other shows that you could go on. But yeah, it was terrifying, but all in all, very thoroughly enjoyable experience. It was really good.
And how did you get approached for it?
So it's quite a funny story, actually. A couple of months ago, I got invited to Thought Park. You know, like sometimes when you work in the media, if there's like an event happening, you know, some company wants to invite you down to show off, you get invited to these things. At Thought Park, they do a couple of events every year. One of the ones was, I think, is it Fright Night or something like that?
Yeah.
Or maybe there was another one where they opened up the Derren Brown Ghost Train. I got invited to come down there. There's only about 100, 200 people in the park. You get to get on all the rides. It takes about 30 seconds to get on all the rides. It's like your ultimate dream when you're a kid. There's no queues. It's great. Sick. There's no little kids as well. It's great. So I was down there, and then when I was leaving, this girl runs up to me in the car park and she says, "All right, DJ Neville."
Oh, no, you told us this on a podcast.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, for those of you that hear that podcast, that you're probably saying to yourself, that was something that a complete stranger said to me. I shouldn't let it get to me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, it did, right? Touch the nerve. I was like, this is bullshit. I've been doing this job for ages. Is she winding me up? Or, I don't know. I was like, this is not good enough, all right? I need to get a little bit famous, okay? Not proper famous, just a little bit famous so that people don't run up to me in car parks and call me fucking DJ Neville, all right? It's,
DJ Neville.
I'm not having this. So I said to my manager, I was like, look, can you get me on a... it honestly was this simple. I said, can you get me on a couple of telly shows? You know, what sort of things do you want to do? I went, I don't know, Mastermind. So, all right. So she talks to the people on the Mastermind, and they got back to her and they were like, yeah, we'd love to have Dev. So they give me a date to come and record. And so I went up to Manchester, and I'll tell you the full story. And then afterwards, I think me and you, we might decide that maybe we cut some of this out. Maybe we want to use it or not, because maybe some of what I might say might affect my chances of being on a television show in the future, right? But I just want to be 100% honest about stuff, right? I kind of feel that's the best thing about podcasts, is that you get a chance to talk in a way that you can never talk on air, right? When you're on somebody else's dime, you can't really do that. So I've gone out to Manchester, and the way that they do these things, they film a bunch of episodes on one day. So in the green room, I'll be hanging out with maybe like 12 people who are all going on the show, but on separate shows. So I was there with a comedian, Omid Jalili was there. I was on with I'm so bad, I haven't remembered any of their names. I was very, very nervous. Now Nathan Kane, the comedian, you know him, he was on my episode, and they'd all picked really good specialist subjects. So Nathan Kane had picked the Premiership. He'd been a big fan of football since he was young. The rugby player picked rugby. I was also on with a judge from a show called what's the name of that show, some fashion type television show.
It's not my area.
Sewing Bee, that's what he's on. Okay. He's on the Great British Sewing Bee or whatever it's called. His specialist subject was Ralph Lauren. Now, I don't really have any specialist subject that I know about. I just wanted to pick something that I would enjoy researching. So I picked the films of Will Ferrell. So I thought, for that, I just get to just sit and watch a bunch of Will Ferrell films. Oh, by the way, they had rejected a bunch of ideas that I'd come up with before.
Please let us know.
I wanted to do South Park. I wanted to do The American Office. These are all things that I'm really, really big fans of.
Why not South Park?
They thought it would take too long, because there's like 20 seasons. They thought it would take too long to go through every single episode. And although I would be quite confident that I'd be able to answer most questions about South Park. In the end, we agreed on Will Ferrell films. So those are the people who are on my episode. And I was nervous beforehand, but I feel like I'd done adequate research. I'd watched every single Will Ferrell film I could possibly watch. I felt ready. You know, it's obviously quite nerve-wracking, but when I do these things, I'm always in the front of my mind, I've got, if you don't enjoy it, then what's the point? It's no point in doing something, you could be so nervous. Just go and do it and enjoy it. If you mess it up, who cares? You know, it is an experience, and you'll have a story afterwards. Now, John Humphreys, who I was really excited to meet, legendary broadcaster, been on telly for years, very, very respected broadcaster. Now, he did something that really rubbed me up the wrong way, that a lot of old guard presenters and people in the media do. They assume, because I'm younger than them and I'm on like a young, hip radio station, BBC Radio 1, Saturday and Sunday mornings, the weekend prep show.
What time?
6 till 10 a.m. they assume that I'm going to sort of get in, like sort of make jibes about how old they are. Oh, you're old. Oh, you're out of touch. And it's not really my shtick. You're a legend to me. Why am I going to come in here and say, oh, you're older? I'm not. So what a lot of these old guard presenters doing, it's happened to me a lot of times, they try and beat you to the punch by sort of being a bit self-deprecating to themselves. It's very, very tiresome. And also, they try and make out like they don't know what it is that you do. So the first thing, I'd gone and sat in the mastermind chair is this coveted thing. Only a few people get to sit in this iconic just piece of furniture, and I'm walking up to it super excited. I really want to enjoy this moment that I get to sit down in a chair. And the first question that John Humphreys asked me, he says, so Dev, says here that you're a DJ. It's this mystic art that I do. And I haven't watched it, so I don't know if you can see my face, but my heart sank, man. I was like, is this the bants we're going to have? Really? That you don't know what it is? And this is the honest response I wanted to give Marcus, right? This is exactly what I wanted to be like, fuck off, John. You know what I do, mate. DJ, the term DJ has been around since the fucking 60s. So has Radio 1. We do the same job, mate. We're presenters. We do the same thing. Why are you trying to make out like, don't, oh, yeah, DJ? Oh, so, oh, what's that then? Oh, I wouldn't know. I'm an old man. You're so young and hip. So immediately I was put off. I was just like, oh, fuck, let's just get this over and done with. So I'm not enjoying the experience to the full anymore. I'm wound up. So then I go in on my specialist subject, Will Ferrell films, and a bunch of the questions I know straight away. Two of them I should have known, definitely. But this is what I kept doing. It's the weirdest thing kept happening to me. When he would start a question, I would think, I know this one. So I'd start searching for the answer. Then by the time he got to the end of the question, I would realize, oh, hang on a minute. That's not the question I've just been looking for the answer for. And I've not paid attention to the actual question you just asked me. And so at least two or three times I had to ask him to repeat the question. There was another time where I just blurted out the wrong answer. Two of the ones I should have just got. They were easy ones I should have just got, right? But didn't. Two of their ones, I feel like they fucked me over a little bit, because there were questions on films that weren't, they weren't even Will Ferrell films. Just films that Will Ferrell happened to pop up in like for about 30 seconds. One of them was a question about the film Get Hard, the one with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
It's not one of his best. And the only film I watched in my 4 or 5 day Will Ferrell binge, is the only film I watched where I fell asleep because it's so shit. Yeah, it's very sad. But so I got like 6 in my specialist round.
Yeah.
Everybody else got every single question right in their specialist round. Overall, my score was 13, which placed me last. Everybody else. If you want to know the difference, the top score was something like 27. It wasn't even close.
Okay.
Annoyingly, the episode that they recorded beforehand that I'd watched in the green room.
Yeah.
That 13 probably would have landed me maybe third or second. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it, apart from that bit with the little bants with Humphreys.
Where he punked you. Tried to punk you.
Yeah, and it's annoying for me because I still respect him as a broadcaster. It rubbed me up the wrong way.
Well, it rubbed him up the wrong way, but you know what? It made a good watch anyway. It was a good show. Check it out on BBC iPlayer if you're here in the UK. If you're not, then you probably have to do some sort of proxy madness with your computer to get your eyes on it. In episode 165, Dev spoke to us about the film Trainspotting 2. And we also spoke about this.
Have sex without condoms is quite difficult, isn't it?
I'm all for safe sex, but someone needs to be real out there but when they're educating and just say it feels so good.
But that's no, but that's why you need to use protection.
Yeah.
When you're like when you're starting out, you need to use protection, because once you don't, you're like, oh no, this is sort of, but then the cons, I guess,
What, like dying? Yeah, it's a bit of a fucked up side effect.
AIDS is quite bad.
Yeah.
Having a kid.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrible.
Can be probably harder to deal with than death, but, in a way, I suppose.
But again, it's sort of hard to do. Do you know what I've also thought would might be kind of hard to go back? Like having my arsehole licked. Have I talked about it on a previous podcast? That like, I dated someone who was adamant that I would enjoy it. Just let me do it. I was, nah, man. I'm not letting you anywhere near my fucking rotten arsehole. But the other thing I was thinking is if we're being brutally honest, is what if I really fucking enjoyed it? What if I was like, this is the fucking bee's knees, mate. This is great.
It's a win then, isn't it? It's a win all round.
Because
she's happy, you're happy.
Because I quite like my balls being cradled, for example. And when they're not, right, it's kind of hard for me to... I've sort of become adjusted to that. I like the support that they get.
You know? When you say cradled, like... Just cupped.
Yeah.
During
one hand's
sex.
Fine. One hand's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever position I'm in, just find a way to cup them. Just find a way.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's your sweet spot.
Yeah. Like.
No cup, no pop?
Sort of, yeah.
Really?
It's more difficult. Yeah.
Wow.
And every time I'm like, do you know what? I should try and train myself back the other way. I should train myself back.
Nah, that's not bad. That's
I should
just...
train myself to that. Nah. Just be able to. You know, like, when you know, like, if you've ever had an elongated period when you're single and you just watch loads of porn, right, and you start going down these really dark holes, and you start getting very, very, very specific tastes, right? And after a while, you're like, I need to pull back a little bit.
Mm.
But where is this going?
Mm.
Like, you know, after a while, you're like, man, if triple anal is the only way I'm going to be able to get off, then let's just rein it in a little bit.
You know? That's going to fuck up the real world as well for you, because it's not easy to come across triple anal every single day, for example. Yeah. But the cupping, no, I don't think that's too far, bruv. But not like a strong squeeze.
No. We're not talking anything sadistic.
Or like a slap on it.
No. Like no. Nothing like that. No. Please no. Just support is all I'm after. Just something to a shoulder to lean on is all I'm after. You know.
Okay.
I don't know, it's kind of got old balls now or something. I don't know. It's just,
I've never heard that. No, I don't think that's fucking crazy. But
we're all talking about things that were. Once you
to go
it's
back
difficult
from, yeah.
to go, yeah, it's difficult.
I don't even know
how we started. We're going to the cinema.
Cinema, yeah. Now it's fair to say Dev has got a lot of stories. This is one of them. Episode 166. Normal size.
Because she'd asked to see me change, and then when she'd see my penis, she pointed at it and just went, it's normal size. Like she, I do think, yeah, it probably is. She's probably seen a lot of penises. It probably is just a normal size. But I think she'd said it to try and take me down a peg. She'd seen me giving it the big and on stage and stuff, and then just sort of thought.
Actually, in translation, that generally means like jumbo, like normal size. In Japanese, it means
enormous size.
Whoa. Well, not to be stereotypical and quite frankly a bit racist, right? But normal size in Japan, I feel that might be a bit of an insult.
Oh, and don't think that's where it ends. Dev stories get oh so much better. So this is How to Kill an Hour. How to Kill an Hour. Dev promised in the last episode he wouldn't leave us waiting 20 years till he told us.
I want to say this for my podcast. I want to tell this on a podcast.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I can tell this multiple times. It doesn't matter. It's one of my best stories.
I'm really, like, fuck it. This week is going to go out the window. Like, I can't. We're going to have to drop, because there's plenty of ways to kill time out there.
You can just, you, like,
but
you
let's
just,
not
you
go on like
this.
We don't have, let's
you
not go on like we don't have fucking sex though. Come on.
Huh?
Like, let's not go on like killing time. Having sex isn't something that we should all be doing a bit more.
This is not a sex story, man.
Is it not a sex story?
It's not a sex story.
Oh god.
It should have been, but it's not a sex story, man.
Okay. So what is it about them?
Do you want to just tell me?
I'm really curious.
All right. So last year at Ibiza, right? I did it big, bruv. I did it. Big. I was supposed to only go, well, I don't know, considering the amount of time I was out there, I was supposed to go for like 4 days or something. I ended up like staying out there for like 10. Moved hotels like a bunch of times. I didn't plan anything, so I was just moving around. Some places I stayed were nice, some places I stayed were shitholes.
Shit.
Going out every single night. It's the thing I love most about Ibiza. Is any given night, more or less any club that you go to, superstar lineup. Your favorite DJs are going to be playing every single night of the week, right? So I'd already had a fantastic innings. This is part of my extended trip now. Oh, no, no, this was the night before I went into my extended trip.
Yeah.
So I'd gone out to Amnesia. Amnesia on the lineup, right? It's like Tutumont, Red Light, Shadow Child. All on the same, all in the same room. I can't believe it, right? Maybe gets to about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I am fucking, I'm involved, mate. I am fully involved. And I'm dancing with this one girl and her friends. I was dancing with this girl, whatever. We're like chatting. I'm talking all kind of shit to this girl like that. Oh, God, she's so beautiful. I was guessing her. Oh, you're so beautiful. They're lovely girls, you know what I mean? But I was just being so over the top. Oh, it's so beautiful. So they were leaving and they said to me, oh, do you wanna come back with us? So I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. Not even thinking. And remembering it now, I don't fully recollect leaving the club and getting on what I now know as the Ibiza party bus. Okay, I thought we were going to get a cab or something. Well, we get out of this club, and next thing, when I sort of come to and sober up and realise what's going on, I'm on a bus, right? I'm on a ram bus flying down the motorway at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. The bus is full of people in the exact same state that I'm in. Now, I have to stand up because the bus is so packed, and this girl that I've been talking to, I'm with her and her friends. And we're just talking all of a sudden. And people who've had nights out like this will know exactly what this feels like. Okay, all of a sudden, I'm like, I have to piss now. Okay, not in 5 minutes, not in 30 seconds. I have to piss right now. Either I'm going to piss myself or I'm going to whip it out and piss on everybody. Okay, this is not staying in me. I'm like holding in. I'm holding in like the fucking English Channel right now. This needs to come out. So I look up at the guy and I'm like, I got piss right now. So she says to me, hey, you can piss in this. So she holds up this bottle of water. Now, this is like a beef or bottle of water. You know them like mini little, it would still probably cost you like €12, but this is a tiny little bottle.
It's like when you get liquor in the aeroplane,
yeah,
when you're flying. It's smaller than that.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than that. But anyway, so those of you who've never pissed in a bottle before, right? Let me just explain to you some of the mechanics that are involved. You can't put your dick all the way inside the bottle because there needs to be room for air to come back out again. It's a transfer of energy, right? There's energy going in. It needs to come back out again. So you need to leave a little gap. Now, I can't fit the helmet all the way in this little bottle of water, right? But I need to make a gap. So what I need to do is hold my dick outside of the bottle, aim it the stream into the fucking mouth of this little bottle, right? I need to do that one-handed without anybody noticing me whilst I'm like 9 beers deep. So I go for it, okay? I go for it. And the first sound I hear is the sound of my piss hitting the bottom of the bottle. So I'm like, yes, I fucking got this. And you fully committed now, okay? That's it. You started pissing. You're not all of a sudden going to go, okay, I've changed my mind. No. That's it. You are now going to carry on pissing until it's all finished, all right? So the girl standing in front of me, she's sort of giving me a bit of cover. It's a packed bus. People are kind of chatting, having their own conversations. Like, it's kind of cool. Then all of a sudden, Marcus, we hit a little bump in the road, a little swell, a little whoop.
And what happened, bro?
Now, my thumb instinctively goes to clamp over my japs eye, right? Instinctively goes to close that. Now, if you've ever, in the summer, like, held a hose, and you try and put your thumb over it, all it does is intensify the stream and in most cases sends it off in a direction that you can't control. So that's exactly what happened. I sprayed like six people with piss.
So you turned your piss stream into a water jet.
Yeah. And it like hits people's legs. And immediately, a couple of people turn around because, you know, you feel the sensation of the water. You're like, what the fuck? And then two people who are sat behind me realize what I'm doing and start hitting me in the back. Oh, what the fuck are you doing? Stop pissing. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to apologize.
But surely that's not helping because they're hitting you while you're pissing.
It's making it worse, if anything. And then I look up at the girl who's still up in front of me and she looks me right in the face and she says, it's going all over my legs. I'm so sorry. And I look down, Margot, it's not even going in the bowl a little bit. I'm basically now just pissing on the floor. Like, I am mortified. So 5 minutes later, we pull into San Antonio. Maybe I could have waited 5 minutes.
A long 5 minutes.
San Antonio. I get off the bus. Holding my head. I don't want to look at anybody. Everyone's getting off the bus. I could just see people going, oh, man, someone pissed on the floor. Who the fuck pissed on the floor? What the fuck? I look at the bottle that I'm still holding, right? I look at the bottle, Marcus, there's like 4 drops in the bottle. I barely got any in there. And I get off the bus and the girls are probably more embarrassed for me, right? And I just say to them, I said, be honest with me. Don't try and make me feel good or anything, okay? Level with me. How many people do you think just saw that? And they went, honestly, like maybe 5, maybe 6 people. I was like, oh, no. All right, well, good night. See you later.
That was it.
I left them. Of course I did. I wanted to be like, hey, so I want to come around to mine.
Yeah, so I can wash the piss off your legs. You should have said, hey, do you want to come around to mine? We wash that piss off your legs.
So I go back to my hotel, and all the next day, I'm just nursing my hangover, right? And I just spend the entire day refreshing my timeline on Twitter, like, please, please, please don't tell me someone filmed that, or just please, no footage. All right, no footage. And I'm sort of safe in the knowledge that a lot of people were out of it on that bus, probably didn't even notice what was going on. But also, right, I was trying to piss into the bottle. I was not being drunk and just pissing on the floor. I was trying my hardest to piss into this bottle one-handed whilst being stood up on a bus that's flying down the road at like 60 miles an hour.
If I think I'm going to pick one part of the story that messed up for you, one part of that plan was probably trying to piss into the bottle one-handedly.
I should have just gone into the corner and used both hands and then just weed into the bottle.
And pissed on the floor.
Oh, man. That's mortified. But you know what was funny? The next day, mutual friend of ours, Simba, came out with a mate of his. That's why I extended my trip, because we ended up hanging out for a couple of days. I told them that story, and then being like, Preston boys, Caners or whatever, were like, nah, like, and what? Like, so.
Yeah, and?
They were not even a little bit impressed by that story. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's the. Because I told them about how mortified I was the next day. Like, hot with embarrassment that I had done something like that. Like, but what else could I do? What the alternative was to piss myself on this bus or try and piss into a bottle. I tried to go for the latter. It didn't work out very well. Might have pissed on a few people. Sorry. But what is the other alternative? Surely I would have looked more out of it if I'd have just pissed myself. Just weed myself.
Surely you could have just stopped the bus though somehow.
It couldn't have, man. It was on the motorway. What I should have done is I shouldn't have left the club. I should have stayed there and watched fucking Red Light and Shadow Child, two of my favourite.
So didn't even get
DJs.
To see your DJs then?
I saw a bit of Red Light.
Okay, cool. That's sick. Well, that's a good pissy story then.
I'm gonna have to call my manager and ask if I can let people hear this story. Fuck. It just feels good to sort of get that off my chest. And you know the worst thing is all the girls were so, think about how fuckery they could have been. If I had that, fucking nasty, he's pissing everywhere. But I think they, you know.
In a situation like that, you got to be wrong and strong. You fucked up. There's nothing else you can do. You got to be wrong and strong. You got to say, hey, listen. Shit happens. I'm sorry.
Do you want to know the funniest part? Well, shit, unfortunately, it didn't happen. Do you want to know the funniest part of that story for me?
Mm-hmm.
I went for a drink with a girl the next day.
And how did you open?
She was lovely. Did you crack sorry, a joke? Sorry for pissing on you.
Well, you got to be honest, that's a very unique story. That's Dev when he's here on How to Kill an Hour. We're also joined by guests here on the show as well, like The Gadget Show's Otis Deely. And now he is a man who is well into his technology. He knows many ways of killing time. So it was a great pleasure to have him on the show to join us. This is a clip from episode 176.
It feels like it was one of your jobs to maybe experience some of the harsher side of thing of technology, like when they put you in a haunted house once.
Take any more, to be completely honest with you, man.
Yeah, they I think they kind of looked at, you know, my chiseled frame and my good looks, and they're like, yeah, that dude's kind of like a, you know, a bramble, like a black Rambo. So let's put him in some situations and see, you know what I mean, how he did. I think, you know, I think I've done all right over the years.
And that reaction from that clip there is that sort of an example of how Rambo would deal with a situation when he's in a haunted house.
Rambo, you mean?
Rambo.
I think it's important to understand that, one, I'm making a television show that is informative and entertaining. If Bramble was to go into a haunted house and just, you know, dispense with all the zombies, it might be a little bit boring.
Okay. Mm.
So what you're trying to say is you wasn't scared at all. It's all for the telly.
And what you may hear as screams are kind of vocal channeling of energy.
Oh, your chi.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought they were edited in later by the production team, you know, because you just weren't scared at all.
They wouldn't do me like that. We kind of had an agreement that, you know, I would use some of that. Because if you hit the right pitch, because you can hear there are some high pitch screams in there. If you hit the right pitch, you can shatter shit.
Oh
yeah!
All right. Okay.
So rewind, because you lot listening to the podcast, you're just hearing it. If you go and watch it, you will see zombies and stuff. Their bones shatter, and if you look closely at the TV screen, you'll see a odd crack.
Ah, so what you're saying is it was a weapon against the Tsar.
Yeah, okay.
Sort of like when Superman went, stuff like that.
Except again, he was really upset. Where I was chill.
Oh, you were calm. You were calm.
The high pitched girly screaming was a weapon, right? Okay, cool. I'm with it.
That's a good one to have in the arsenal.
So that was when Otis from The Gadget Show joined us here on How to Kill an Hour. We've got more of that and more of the other gentleman that you heard in that clip as well, Nick Bright, coming up in our next episode, which is part two of our Best Bits of 2017. And because of the way that dates dropped this year round, 2017's last episode was this one. And the first episode of 2018 is going to be the second part of our Best Bits. So you can step into the new year chuckling and being up to date with all the stuff that we got up to last year is what it will be. So anyway, enjoy your New Year celebrations, and we'll be back with part two of 2017's Best Bits next week. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with moi, Marcus Brunzi.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.